So this is a open drag king night. Some of these kings have. Yes. Everyone is excited. It's wonderful. Anyway, you can toss your dollars up here. If a drag king does find their way out into the audience, you can also hand them money. And if they consent, you can put the dollar on them. This is like very consensual right here, right?
You know, I think as a drag king, we are questioning what it means to be a man, and what does masculinity mean, and what does it look like. And there are some brilliant performers out there who have put on some amazing acts that really make you, you know, sit down and think about what does this mean, and why do we think masculinity can only be presented in these very narrow views. Understand that these are things that you've adopted from people around you, from your environment, and these are not necessarily things that you're quote-unquote born with, right? Like, nobody is born hyper-masculine. You know, that's not what's happening, right? Unless it does, then I stand corrected, but I don't think that's what happens.
Pretty Ricky is a drag king, and he's the real deal. The outfits, the accessories, the DIY facial hair, the mannerisms and gestures on stage are all meticulously put together. And as someone who's been trying to better understand what performing masculinity actually looks like, I'm realizing this real-life act has been doing that work for me. I'm Ayman Ismail, and you're listening to Man Up. On this show, every week, we tell honest stories about our lives and investigate where we get our ideas about what it means to be a man.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. If you're like me and you're more familiar with drag queens, thanks to the RuPaul Empire, then listen up. So for the uninitiated, can you describe a typical drag king performance?
So drag kings are more often than not female-bodied people who do performative masculinity on stage. Similar to drag queens, it can be a theatrical performance that includes music and lip syncing, although drag kings can also be singers, stand-up comedians, variety performers. In my troupe, we actually have one person who is a sideshow person as well. So they sword swallow and eat fire.
Whoa.
And do all kinds of things like that.
Pretty Ricky's crew goes hard. He's the leader and co-founder of the Pretty Boy Drag Troupe. When I first started investigating what a drag king show might look like, I was coming in with that bias of expecting it to look like what a typical drag queen show would look like. You know, musical numbers, singing, twirling. That's not what I got at all.
Drag kinging in general, because we live in a world where drag queens are celebrated and people still don't know what a drag king is, oftentimes drag kings will have a little bit more in their back pocket to entice an audience, to entertain an audience. I think as drag kings, we have to work harder, which I'm not mad at, in the sense that, it's on me to become an all-around entertainer and not just get on stage and lip sync to a song. I have to do a little bit more. I recently took a workshop on juggling. I don't know how I'm going to use it, but it's something that I can add to my bag of tricks.
Yeah, if you can juggle chainsaws on stage soundtrack, you're going
to
kill.
We don't have insurance like that, so they're going to have to be toy chainsaws.
Just start with oranges and then build your way up.
Yes.
So how did you get into drag kinging in the first place? How did you land in this world?
My best friend at the time was dabbling in the burlesque and drag king community here in D.C. I had never heard of a drag king before. But I went and I watched and I was instantly hooked. I was like, I want to be up there. I want to be one of them. Mm. And at the time, there was a troupe here in D.C., the D.C. Kings. They were in D.C. for about 15, 16 years. and they had like a monthly new member meeting. I showed up and decided to give it a try. I mean, I know it's probably not as long of a story as you were hoping for, but any drag performer is going to tell you that, you know, when you first start doing drag, it's cathartic. It's a way of expressing yourself. It's a way of exploring different sides of yourself. And through all of that, you know, my first performance, a girl in the audience who pushed her way to the front carrying Jameson's and ginger ale and dollar bills in one hand is now my wife. So, you know, it all kind of segued into, better times.
That's so real. That's so real.
She's also a performer here in the city. She goes by Lexi Star is her burlesque name.
Who is your drag king character? Can we call it a character?
Yeah. When you create these personas, they eventually, you know, they evolve just like, you know, just like people do, right? So, you know, when I first started this persona, it was mostly an excuse for me to perform T-Pain songs because I really like T-Pain. So, you know, I had this elaborate backstory of, you know, a washed up early 2000s rapper trying to find their next big hit. That was essentially my bio for years. That was what I was portraying on stage. So I wore a lot of chains and, you know, jewelry, and I did a lot of hip hop. I think Ricky has kind of morphed into my muggle personality and is essentially this very confident person who wants you to be confident. I'm big on like telling people that you can do this as well. I love getting new people on the stage. I love being a voice for the community. I love talking about drag kings. I love being in rooms with drag kings. I love fighting for drag kings. So I guess Pretty Ricky kind of became this like advocate for drag kings in general at some point, and a person who encourages others to give it a try and see how it helps bolster their confidence. I'm a confidence dealer. I got a trench coat on the corner and I'm like, hey, you need to pick me up for today? And I like open it up and there's confidence on the inside.
Come on stage. Let's juggle some stuff.
Yes. Some stuff.
That's so interesting. I love that you described your onstage character as your muggle personality, almost like a version of yourself that you thought you can present to people and feel like it would be easier to understand.
Absolutely. You know, something that's really interesting about performance in general, and I've seen it a lot on our stage for Pretty Boy Drag, the troupe that I co-produce with my wife, we see a lot of people give drag kinging a try because they're questioning their gender, they're questioning possibly their sexuality, and it's a way of people kind of playing this person that they don't know if they can be in their regular life and trying it on. Does this feel comfortable to me? Does this feel real? Does this feel authentic? Drag has a really interesting way of changing people for the better.
I want to ask you how it changed you for the better.
Confidence is a big one. So if my wife was here, she'd be laughing at me just a little bit, reminiscing about when we first met. So when we first met, I was very uncomfortable with the term dyke or butch, although that was definitely where I leaned more towards. And I was still wearing like ill-fitting women's clothing because I didn't like the way that it felt on my body. So I would buy like larger sizes, but that just looked terrible. And going into drag and, you know, wearing men's clothing for performance got me comfortable wearing men's clothes in regular life. I feel better in them. I feel more confident in them. I look better in them, if I do say so myself.
Hey.
I feel drawn to men's clothing styles. I love suits. I love tuxedos. I love ties and bow ties and sock garters, all of the whole shebang. I think it's sexy. I think it's hot. I think it's all of those things. And, you know, for a long time, I felt like I couldn't enjoy those things because, quote unquote, I'm a girl, right? I'm a girl. That's not what girls do. Girls wear dresses. Girls carry purses. If you try to get me to carry a purse, it would be the most awkward thing you've ever seen in your life. It's like a newborn baby giraffe kind of
so
awkward.
Funny.
But you put me in a pair of wingtip shoes and a suit, and I am the most confident person in the room. And, you know, I deal with a lot of like anxiety and depression, and it really helped me figure out where some of that anxiety was coming from. Feeling uncomfortable in public, feeling uncomfortable in my skin, feeling uncomfortable in my clothes. And trying drag really helped me embrace that. And, you know, my wife was very adamant that, like, she's like, you look uncomfortable in your old clothes. Try something different. Try something new. And it just really helped me. It helped to have somebody say, it's okay. This is perfectly okay for you to do. It's your body. It's your choice. You do what you want to do. And I just felt like a different person.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So you wear the chains. What else does Pretty Ricky wear on stage?
Pretty Ricky definitely wears a lot of chains, big, gaudy earrings, a la any mid-2000s rapper. Or nowadays, that style never really went out. Right. So as a performer, lots of performers have a shtick. Like, I mentioned, my sideshow performer. You know that when they get on stage, they're going to do something that's sideshow-esque. They're going to eat fire. They're going to, crush glass. They're going to do something along those lines. Yeah. For me, it's I'm a big T-shirt and underwear reveal person. I have several pairs of underwear at home that have words rhinestoned on the butt, and that's my thing. Like, I love to reveal underwear that say something on the back. And so to answer your question, Pretty Ricky starts off with clothes and a lot of times ends up with less clothes. So
that's awesome.
That's what I like to do. And it's fun. It's, anytime that you start to take off clothes on stage, people just instantly start to clap for
no reason. They're going to lose their minds right away.
Right. But even if you're just like, I'm hot and I'm just taking off my jacket, they're like, woo. You're like, nah, this is not that kind of show. But that's what I like to do.
Do you ever play with facial hair? I've seen some videos where they will have mustaches, funny beards. Like, what do you do?
Yes. I'm a big 5 o'clock shadow person. Which is probably one of the more common. If a new drag king starts, I think there are two facial hairstyles that are the most popular. It's the goatee and the 5 o'clock shadow. So we do a drag king 101 here about every 6 to 8 weeks here in DC, just for people who are curious about drag kings or who actually want to perform. The parts of the workshop is talking about facial hair. So, there has to be some sort of adhesive on your face to get the hair to stick.
That makes sense.
For me, for a 5 o'clock shadow, this may sound a little gross, and I promise you it's not. So when my wife washes her hair in the shower and you get those few handfuls of dead hair that come off, she actually washes those for me and I cut those up and I use her hair as my facial hair.
How is that not gross?
It's clean.
Again?
it's clean, right? Like, it's,
yeah.
At least I know where it came
guess.
From. Look, you'd be amazed at some of the places that drag kings find hair.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors. I won't talk about it, but I've heard rumors.
Oh, no. Now I'm using my imagination.
Yes. No. Wherever your imagination is going is exactly where implying. I knew one drag king who claimed to do that, and I was like, that's gross. So you cut up the hair real fine. It's almost like a powdery substance by the time you're done. So you put the adhesive on your face and then you use like a makeup brush and you dab it in the hair and then you're able to place it on your face and it looks actually very realistic.
And I bet under stage lights, you can probably get away with a lot.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So what about the way that you act?
For me, I tend to perform in a more hyper masculine way. If I'm embodying hip hop artists on stage, there's going to be some, a lot of machismo kind of thrown in there for the performance. But drag kings, I think, play with what gender means a little bit more. So you'll find a gamut of drag kings and how they perform on stage. Some of them are like me and do more hyper masculinity. Some people like to do a very like gender fluid mix. We've had a drag king perform with us who would come out with a full beard and hair on their chest, but wearing red stiletto heels and red lipstick. Just playing with the idea of what performing masculinity means. And, you know, you have some people who try to embody people like Mick Jagger. You know, there might be a little bit more like femininity kind hilarious. Of thrown in there, right? Yeah. So you'll have a gamut of people. But for me, it's more about the hyper masculinity and how do you perform in hyper masculinity and not make it toxic.
So where did your ideas about masculinity come from?
So there's, you know, there was a lot of inspiration drawn from like some action heroes that I really liked, obviously like hip hop artists. And then in my real life, I have an older brother who's 12 years older than me. He has always been a huge influence on me. You know, my brother was an 80s kid, so like breakdancing was his thing. He also, you know, rapped just a little bit. I would sometimes watch him do, you know, freestyle with his friends. So that was a huge influence on me. And as well as my father, who, my father was super old school. My father was born in 1934. So, he came from a very different era and he was raised in the Deep South. And, you know, his idea of masculinity was different than my brother's idea of masculinity. You know, they definitely presented themselves in very different ways. You know, my father was very much like a gentleman, for yeah. sure. You know, he yeah. was, you know, he believed in, you know, holding the door for women and pulling out chairs for women. And you know,
he's a classic kind of guy.
Yes, very classic kind of guy. And I think Pretty Ricky definitely draws from both of them. And my brother was also a very funny person. So, you know, Pretty Ricky tries to tell jokes. I think I'm funny. Sometimes I'm funny. And then, you know, I like to think of myself as a classic gentleman as well.
But in your act, you were talking about how you perform a little bit of a hyper masculinity. That feels a little different than the way you're describing your father and your brother.
Yeah, that hyper masculinity definitely comes more from like the hip hop artist side of things. And, you know, for some people who may not understand what hyper masculinity is, it's how do I describe it and not be completely negative?
Good luck.
I know, right? So it's definitely taking up a lot of space. It's definitely commanding the room. It can at times be very sexual. It can be very objectifying in negative contexts. It's very interesting to perform that on stage because at times it feels very foreign to me, and then at times it feels very comfortable to me. So,
is it a parody? Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. It kind of has to be, simply because we often see so much masculinity in the world that's toxic, right? That is harmful to others or harmful to the person who is behaving this way. And so for drag kings, it's very much so about, some of them actually like outright make fun of masculinity and, you know, the things that we've seen our cis men do and that are in our lives. And sometimes it's about just creating that question of, you know, if this is masculinity, is this toxic masculinity? Can we make toxic masculinity, take out the toxic part of that and make it less about gender and more about presentation? There are so many different ways that we talk about this in our space and we explore it in our space. And for myself, I think I tend to work. So my muggle life, I am a web developer, which tends to have a lot of white dudes.
Yeah.
And before drag king, I definitely had a lot of anxiety about being in the space and about, you know, oftentimes being the only black woman in my department. And Jeez. Since kind of adopting this, you know, exploring what masculinity means to me and using that in a way that allows me to go into a room and feel confident about where my place is in that room. I'm not afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to call somebody out, whether that be about work stuff or about, mm-hmm. you know, sociopolitical stuff, it feels like when I started to embrace my masculinity a little bit more, it made me feel like I can also take up space, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I totally get what you're saying. I'm really curious about this power disparity, because the more we talk about satire and parody, it kind of makes sense that for a drag king show to be a little bit like it almost reminds me of a circus with people breathing fire and juggling and and kind of bringing the audience in and encouraging laughter, but and also shock and awe.
Yeah,
it almost makes sense that it would have to be that way, considering the amount of space that men take in society. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I wonder if those two things are linked for you, the performance and also the power disparity between men and women in common society.
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of reiterating what I said earlier, like we are taught, female-bodied folk are taught to not take up space. And it's interesting when you go to a drag king, one of our drag king 101s, the first thing that we tell them is, depending on how you are performing this masculinity, take up more space. And the look on people's faces when they're told that, it's this like realization that in their lives, they tend to shy away from certain things because they're taught that, you know, we're taught since we're, you know, old enough to understand things that, you know, we should be more submissive and we should be, you know, don't make a fuss, or, you know, if you speak up too much, you're a bitch, right? Mm. If you fight back too much, you're a bitch. And in this space, when we talk about taking up more space, I think it becomes this realization for people that you are allowed to take up space and you don't have to be a male-bodied person in order to do that. And tapping into this masculinity in order to create that kind of confidence and feel like you are an equal, they're a peer with the men in your life and no longer a second class citizen to them, right? We are now peers, we are equals, and it changes people's perspective. It changes the way that they, you know, me being the best example, the way that I walk around in this world. And talking about specifically the parody part of it, making fun of all of these things that some super hyper-masculine men hold so dear, right, is the best form of comedy, in my opinion. Just when you're able to point to somebody's truth that they don't even realize that is their truth and say, that's weird, dude. You need to take a look at that, because the fact that you hold that so dear to yourself and you have no real reason behind why you hold that so dear to yourself is something that I think, especially in Pretty Boy Drag, we excel at. And we don't typically have a lot of our audience tends to be made up of mostly female-bodied folk, but we occasionally get some cis men in our audience who often come up to us afterwards and are very appreciative of the way that we've kind of broken down the way that they present themselves. And I like to think that we kind of pass that along to people as they leave our shows. What does masculinity mean? Why do I do things the way that I do them? Why do I hold these things so dear to myself? Why can't I let them go?
You said that every drag king has a shtick.
Like, yes.
How do you help a new drag king find their shtick?
Sometimes we have new kings that start with us and they're like, I just want to do whatever I want and not have any kind of direction whatsoever. And I'm like, hey, you live your life. That's not how we do things here. So you figure yourself out there. But in here, what we want to do is help people find their shtick, find their direction. And, you know, we have a performer right now who actually is a musician and performs on stage. And when we told them, there's no reason why you can't just be a singing drag king on stage. Why not just draw from those things that you already know? They don't have to be two separate things. So sometimes it's about finding a talent they already have and encouraging them to like jump into it with both feet. There's no reason you can't be a drag king and do this thing at the exact same time. And sometimes it's about their musical taste and the artists that they kind of admire. You know, we get a lot of born in the 80s, mid to late 80s you know, newbies who are really into like the pop punk thing. So for me, it's about encouraging them to explore different artists in that genre and what is it that you like about them and emulate those things that you like, but also be original, right? Like, don't think that you are the first person to ever be a drag king with like emo black lipstick. That's not a shtick. That's on the nose. So I encourage people to be a little bit more original, dig deeper than the surface, which I think can be very hard for people. They get intimidated by that.
Yeah, we were talking about masculinity being a performance. So is drag kinging a performance of a performance?
Mm. Wow, you got Inception on me. I would have to say yes, that you put it that way. Like, yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, we've talked a lot about masculinity being a performance, but femininity is also a performance, right? Like, it's... and we're not saying that if you are a more feminine person or if you're a more masculine person that you're faking it for some reason, but understand that these are things that you've adopted from people around you, from your environment, and these are not necessarily things that you're quote unquote born with. So understanding that the way that we present ourselves to the world is, you know, it's how we feel comfortable with ourselves and how we think other people will receive us well. So yes, absolutely. I think, you know, if we look at masculinity as being a kind of performance that, you know, we see in the world, and then drag king is essentially a performance of a performance, 100%.
So another thing I'm curious about, do you see this as more of a study of gender or a deconstruction of gender?
We have to study it first before we can deconstruct it. We first have to figure out what the components of this this way that we define gender and define masculinity and femininity, what does that look like? And then we have to take it apart and put it back together and figure out, well, what are we presenting now? Is this masculinity? Is this still masculinity? Is this femininity? Is it both? And I think we oftentimes find that it falls somewhere in between. By the time we've finished deconstructing it and putting it back together, it falls somewhere in between all of those things.
So someone who wrangles a lot of drag kings and puts on these big shows, that kind of make you an expert on gender, right? Because you're so exposed to both deconstructing and studying it. Is there anything that you've learned about your personal relationship to gender through drag king?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely don't think I'm an expert, but, I think my exposure to different forms of femininity and masculinity have completely changed the way that I approach the world. I feel more enlightened, I guess, is a good way of putting it, or terribly self-serving way of putting it, however you want to frame that. Yeah. But for me personally, I feel like I am, especially around kids, I'm more aware of the things that they pick up. I have a lot of nephews and nieces. And, you know, when we're spending time together, you know, I think it's important for me because I have this exposure, because I have seen different forms of masculinity and femininity and everything in between those two, you know, encouraging younger people, younger queer folk, and kids to let go of some of the things that they think they have to do. You know, if sometimes I have a 11-year-old nephew, and he's a little bit of a sensitive soul, and I think sometimes he gets picked on for being a boy who cries. And I think it's important for me to tell him that boys do cry, and it's perfectly okay.
And that's the show. Here at Man Up, we love getting emails and voicemails, and we'd love to hear from you too. Got any stories about performing masculinity? Leave a message at 805-626-8707. That's 805-MAN-UP-07. Or email us at manup@slate.com. We love topics for future episodes too. If you like this episode, consider supporting the kid and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. But more importantly, subscribe. We've got new shows every week, and I'd hate for you to miss it. Man Up is hosted and written by me, Ayman Ismail. Our producers are Cameron Drews and Danielle Hewitt. Our executive producers are Jeffrey Bloomer and Lowen Liu.
Gabriel Roth is the editorial director of Slate Podcasts. June Thomas is the senior managing producer of Slate Podcasts. We'll be back next week with more Men Up.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.